Hello, Kate here, and welcome to Life and Inside Job. Today I'm talking to Elizabeth Joseph, and really to call her an influencer I think is a bit rude because it doesn't describe anything about how funny she is and how real she is and how tender as well. So it's probably better if I describe her in her own words. She says, "My story is a story of transformation, a midlife revelation, revolution, reinvention. A woman who has gone from invisible housewife, plagued by perimenopause, to a social media menopause guinea pig, who has tried out a range of natural products and approaches, from womb massage to fart pants, through mouth taping, tapping and turmeric." Is it turmeric or turmeric? I can never decide. Turmeric, I think. Anyway, strictly between us, I once ate so much turmeric, or possibly turmeric, that my nails went yellow. I was highly uninflammatory, though. Anyway, back to Elizabeth. She has a column in a local magazine, and she's writing a book, and she also took part in an ad campaign for period pants, and this is her description of herself in the grand old age of 49. She says, "My hope is that by speaking up about this potential shitstorm in our lives with honesty and humour, no other woman need ever stumble into perimenopause, clueless, lost or alone." And she is also, I must say, a woman of passion. She's very beautiful and very funny. You can find her on Instagram, where she's Elizabeth Joseph Navigating. And you can read her column in Living North magazine. Elizabeth started by talking about how her writing project has taken off.
Yeah, my husband had all these lovely wallpaper guides, and they were just beautifully set out, kind of counter books, you know, to Singapore, to New York, wherever. And I just thought, I want to write a book that helps women, but isn't about the person that wrote it. It's just, look, these are the things that you may find you're suffering from, you know, these are the symptoms that might creep up on you, and these are the slightly bonkers out there natural remedies, approaches, products that I tried. Give them a go and then talk to your friends about them. That was all it was going to be. And I sat down and, you know, had 6 months of trying all manner of lunacy and absolutely just loved it. Like, was actively going, I want to have burnt tongue again. I want to have burnt tongue again because I want to try this Tabasco remedy. You know, actively enjoying all my
hang
symptoms.
On, hang so on, can... Tabasco remedy?
Oh, yes.
What
oh,
is
yes,
that?
Yes, yes. It's fantastic. Now, that's on my page. You take 3 or 4 drops of Tabasco in a teaspoon of water and slosh it around your mouth. You do it, and it hurts. You do it 3 or 4 times a day for a couple of days, and the burning mouth has gone. I mean, gone.
Wow.
It totally works. Well, it totally works for me. Incredible. So I was looking up stuff, talking to people, finding all these different ways to do it. So I went on Instagram, encouraged by my kids, to try and find an audience for this book, if I had to self-publish, or I did send it off to some publishers. And the feedback that I got, and I got feedback, which is a big deal in itself, was, you can write, but I don't like this idea of a counter book. Why don't you partner with an expert? You know, if you're talking about nutrition, you're talking about all these different remedies, who are you? You need to partner with an expert, which further incensed me. And I thought, well, hold on a minute. Exactly. How come, you know, just because I'm not a celeb, you know, and I appreciate, yes, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nutritionist, I do appreciate that. But I thought, well, hold on, what am I an expert in? My own situation, my own experience. So then I started to really put myself out there on Instagram. Initially, it had been, you know, stock pictures, no real profile picture. And I started to really talk about myself. And it just led on from there. And so the book, as it stands now, is really about me and about my experience. And there's quite a lot of sharing, some might say oversharing, and a lot of honesty. And that's really where it's got to now. It's not, you know, a slim guide, it's a story, plus all the lunacy and the useful things that I've tried out.
Wow. And how is it having your private life out there? I mean, you you're so engaging and it's so real. And that's really why I wanted to talk to you, because it's funny. But you talk about, you know, sex with your partner and, you know,
smelly armpits.
Armpits and, you know, all the kind of chewy, messy stuff of life. But it's all out there on the Wonder Web. Isn't that so exposing?
No, I absolutely love it. I can't really explain it. Like, something ridiculous will happen and I go, oh my God, I have to put it on Instagram, which is quite amusing because I never was on Instagram and I never really got it. But now I'm like, oh yeah, that's just brilliant. I have to put it on Instagram. We live in this freezing cold farmhouse. We've only been in for a couple of months, just as an example. And I was making my husband laugh, walking from the bathroom to the bed, completely naked, apart from my warm slippers, doing this weird kind of naked dance, which we called cross carpet Nordicking. And I'm like, I have to do a post on cross carpet Nordicking. It has to happen. But the strange thing is, and I write about this, is that I've never been particularly comfortable in the company of women for three main reasons. One, I always tell the truth, which doesn't necessarily go down that well. Two, I have a really weird sense of humor. And three, I absolutely love talking about myself. And that understandably has not always endeared me to my fellow woman. And yet I suddenly found that those three traits on Instagram really, really had people kind of flocking to my page and were drawn to my page. So I still stand very meekly at the school gates, you know, pretending I'm looking at my phone, not really engaging. And right. Yet on Instagram, I'm like sharing this and sharing that. It's curious.
Right, at the school gates, the other mums are standing there with their phones looking at you naked.
Or in my pants, in the back.
In your pants. It's strange. It's strange, but brilliant.
it's a weird, it's such a weird mix. And it was absolutely born of a rage. I have a column in a local magazine called Women of a Certain Rage, because I was so, so angry.
Tell me about angry and rage.
Literally stumbling around for 2 years, 2 years in perimenopause, having no idea that that was going on, having no idea that that was going on. And I have to be careful because, on one hand, it sounds like I'm slagging other women, and I genuinely don't mean it meanly, because the main reason I'm able to do these things and I will eventually be published is because of strong women in my corner. So I've had loads of support from women. But nobody told me about the bloody perimenopause. How is that possible? How did I have to go through thinking I had an autoimmune disease and thinking I was losing my mind? Genuinely, and I know I'm not the only one by miles, because nobody talked to me about it. And that's what prompted me. You know, I've had a lot of advice, wanted or unwanted, you know, through pregnancy, childbirth, having children, you know, my hair, choices, you know, lots of people have given me lots of advice and suggestions. And yet how did no one go?
Well, why do you think that is then?
I think it's really interesting. I think it's really, really interesting. I think it's many, many things. I think, to a certain extent, we're maybe the have it all generation. And then it becomes a case of we need to appear like we've got it all and we've got it all going on okay. So to admit to a weakness, possibly we don't like. I think a lot of women have said to me when I've asked this question, it's because it's linked to aging. We don't like the idea. I don't want to say I'm in menopause, or even if you know what perimenopause is, because that's aging.
I'm gonna interrupt there because I am really interested in, there was some headline from Hello magazine.
Okay.
And it mentioned weakness.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be thought of as weak.
Yeah.
And it really got me interested in how we think about, is aging perceived as weakness?
I don't know.
The visible signs of aging. Is that weakness?
Yeah. Well, yes, because a lot of us fight it like holy hell. And, you know, all the advertising is, you know, anti-aging, like it's something that we have to, you know, we have to fight against rather than accept and love, you know, the twinkles on our skin. I think it isn't just necessarily, if you think about it, this is a difficult one, because again, I don't want to be offending anybody. I know, for example, after I'd had children, that, you know, you would be in a postnatal group and people would be passing out, you know, the muffins and the scones that they'd baked while their children were sleeping. And if I shared the fact that, you know, I actually sat with cabbage leaves in my bra, crying my eyes out while my child was sleeping, you know, that you don't do that. You don't necessarily tell the truth. You don't necessarily own up to struggling with something.
But, I mean, menopause is a rite of passage, just like childbirth. Mm-hmm. And I think that you're onto something there, because my experience of early, I have a couple of kids, and my experience of early years with babies and stuff was that there was a lot of saving face and a lot of pretending. And then years later, we said, oh God, I was falling apart. But, and it's the same thing now, that there's this, yeah, so much shame.
Exactly. I spoke to this amazing physiotherapist because I had a frozen shoulder, like squillions of perimenopausal women. And she was trying to help me with that. And I was chatting to her about menopause. And she said that she bought herself some supplements, but she had got a black marker pen and covered over the word menopause, so her partner didn't see it. And she was like the coolest, most together, quite happy to talk to me about everything. And I keep hearing that again and again. I have another, you know, virtual Instagram pal who skulked around the health food store because she didn't want anyone to see her looking for menopause supplements. So I think I've kind of like reacted to this by going so completely the other way and just sort of talking about all of it, but with humour. It doesn't help anybody, does it? If it's just, oh God, this is all shit. And because it won't be shit for everybody. Everybody experienced all those different rites of passage in different ways. But I just have to tell it as it is, really.
Well, thank goodness for that.
Yeah, but not at the school gate, only on Instagram.
School gates are dangerous places.
Yeah, true.
I mean, that's where the politics gets played out, right? If you're talking about, I mean, I that's another reason why I wanted to talk to you, because you name this shadow side of, you know, the sisterhood.
Yeah.
You're lovely and supportive. And, you know, that I have experienced a lot of that. But what tends to get brushed under the carpet is the shadow, the competition, the face saving, the envy, and the kind of, yeah, all that hierarchical stuff. And there's something, and then we're sort of circling back around, there's something about aging and vulnerability.
Yeah.
That has low status sometimes in some circles.
It's really difficult, isn't it? And I find it really difficult because I say I've never written a book before. You know, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm making it up as I go along, and my audience will be women. And that's why I did the post, you know, Women Are Mean, because I just wanted to gauge people's reaction. If I'm going to have something like that in my book that says, you know, I'm not so comfortable in the company of women, I've been hugely supported, but I've also been hugely let down, how's that going to land with a female audience? You know, a lot of the stuff that I do on Instagram is because I genuinely don't know the answer, and I want to know what people think.
And what response did you get?
It was really, really interesting, really interesting. You had the like super cool people, the kind of women I would like to be, who were like, listen, you know, people are probably not pleasant to you because they're having a bad day. You know, it's a reflection on you that you allow it to upset you. You know, you should think about how they feel. And I totally agree. And I would love to be like that, but I'm not. I'm trying, but I'm really not. But a lot of people were, yeah, I have never been so supported in my life as I have by women, and I've never been so let down. And an awful lot who talk specifically about school gates. I wonder if it's, you know, those of us that did have children, whether some kind of bizarre competitiveness, some kind of weird change happens once you throw kids into the mix? I don't know. I haven't got the answer, but a lot of people said to me, you just have to be yourself because, you know, if you're not, it'll stand out a mile.
I think it's really important to name that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. But we're all coming from the, you know, if you're truly comfortable in your own skin, which I'm not, but if you're truly comfortable, then you don't need to be competitive, do you? You don't need to be unpleasant or, you know, seeking to be queen bee or any of those things. I just think it's really interesting that we can probably do, we do each other a disservice sometimes by not being honest.
Well, I think that this, the shame aspect and the hierarchical aspect is on the change, you know. And I think that, you know, by next summer you'll be getting menopause tango menopause Kit Kats.
Fantastic.
Don't you think?
Yeah, because we're big business.
Yeah.
And it's slowly
money.
Exactly. Slowly being cottoned onto this lot. And we've got, you know, we've got lots of money between us. I haven't, but between us. Yeah. Mm. And I think it will be it's already becoming a lot less taboo. But I mean, I have been trying bit by bit, just, you know, to mention it, sitting there at a kid's party, or I had a complete brain fog moment again with the kids party by WhatsApp, and I was like, oh, you know, I'm so sorry, perimenopause brain. And I did it on purpose. Nothing, you know, virtual tumbleweed.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's weird. But then I speak to, don't get me wrong, I speak to lots of women who say, oh my gosh, no, within my circle of friends we talk about it all the time. So maybe it's, a lot of it isn't, has been my reticence to bring it up. I don't know. I have no answers as yet, and possibly ever.
Yeah, best not to. Don't you regret it tomorrow. So you mentioned the rage, and you mentioned that you thought you had an autoimmune condition. What were the symptoms that you were first noticing?
Well, I think that's the big thing with perimenopause, is we don't know about it. So menopause, I was like, oh yes, that's when your periods stop. Ta-da. And I think, you know, there's some hot flushes and maybe some sweatiness. I mean, that was literally what I knew. Now, my periods didn't go bonkers until I was a good two years in. That was the point I went, okay. You know, they were getting actually closer together, much heavier, constant spotting. But at least that was a change that I recognized. But before then, I had sciatica running up and down my left leg, frozen shoulder, you know, constant aching in my jaw, in my neck, all the classics. Now I know all the classics, you know, forgetting the words for things, you know, no sense of direction, epic wind, my personal favorite, you know, constantly, you know, farting, basically a whole load of stuff that I didn't put down. Well, I didn't know what it was. But the big thing for me was a feeling of futility. Waking up every morning, I mean, I'm laughing, I don't know why I'm laughing, just with that feeling of impending doom. And I've always been one of those, you know, find the joy in a raindrop type people, always. And I put it down to, as I know a lot of women do and have done, to what was going on in my life at that point. I refer to those years as the ball thwacking years. You know, life was giving me a really good thwacking in the balls, like everything was going wrong. I lost my job, my husband lost his job, my mum was diagnosed with breast cancer, a very close friend died suddenly, that all of those things happened within 6 months. So I genuinely thought, well, I've lived a fairly blessed life up till now, you know, I'm getting to see the reality, and it is quite shit, and that's probably why I feel so miserable. And I just kept waiting to smell the roses again, and it just didn't happen. And that's the thing, that's why you read about women thinking they've lost their minds, because they just, the one phrase over and over again, I just didn't feel like myself anymore. And I just think it's scary, it's a big deal. You know, women are detonating their lives, they're walking away from jobs, relationships, all manner of things, because they don't know it's their effing hormones.
And what did you do?
I just kept struggling, stumbling around, completely clueless, you know, slightly detonated my life, but nothing too major, until my periods went mad. And then I got, you know, on the internet, and it changed everything. It didn't actually change anything, but it changed everything, because now I knew what was wrong, and I knew that I wasn't going to just accept it and grit my teeth and get on with it. I absolutely do not tolerate any level of discomfort in my life ever. And I will always seek ways to sort stuff out, and I won't be ignored. So I went back to the doctor. And I had been back to the doctor with, you know, psoriasis, with, you know, the aches and pains, with the all manner of stuff that when you put together, you know, everybody I follow on Instagram knows what all those symptoms are, but the doctor wasn't putting it together for me. And that's when I decided, righty-ho then, let's write this guidebook and let's try a whole load of, you know, different products and just have fun doing it. And of course, the focus of writing about it, you know, takes an awful lot of the futility feeling away, because you're focused on something.
So what did you try?
Oh my goodness, what did I not try? Just absolutely everything. And it got even more exciting when I got on Instagram, because everybody was like, would you try this? Would you try? I'm like, yes, of course I will. I'll try all of it. So I'm like, everything. I've had a guided womb massage. So a lot of this, of course, is through Zoom, not least because we were in lockdown for a lot of it. Sound bath, distance reflexology, cacao ceremony, hypnotherapy, mouth taping, tapping, cold water therapy. I could go on and on. Tabasco, fart pants, period pants, meditation, like just on and on and on. What else have I done? Circus skills to try and find the joy in life, climbing up and doing zip wires, strength training, meditation, loads, absolutely loads. So just so much fun.
How could you tell if something was?
That's the thing. So when I first did the guidebook, I was like, right, I'm going to try this supplement for 3 months and nothing else. And, you know, the whole thing took quite a long time. And now I'm just kind of chucking everything at it. And I have to be really, really honest. So, for example, I tried a magnet that goes on the second knobble of your spine, you know, your meridian point. And I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell if it was working at all. The kids kept trying to attach me to the fridge, even though I told them it actually wasn't a magnet in that way. But then I took it off in temper because I was having such hot flushes and they got worse. But because I'm not, you know, saying, you know, this is all kind of like, you know, an experiment that I'm doing in a scientifically sound way, I can just be honest. I can go, I didn't think it was working, took it off, it got worse, make of that what you will. Because the God's honest truth is, all I want is for women to be talking about perimenopause. So even if they try the stuff I suggest and it doesn't work for them, or they don't try it, I don't care. Even if they think it's ludicrous, at least they're talking about it. And that's all I want. That's all I want, for it to be not a big deal. Like, my husband went recently for blood tests, and the nurse came in and she went, I am so sorry, please excuse me, I'm a bit sweaty, I've got the perimenopausal hot flushes. I was like, she didn't, that's fantastic. And he was totally cool about it, because he's heard about it so much. And that's all. I just want it to be the most normal thing, that it's just no big deal to discuss.
And when will your book be out?
Oh, if I ever finish it. See, and that's the thing, you know, anything that I may have said that may sound negative to my fellow woman, I've had really good support with this, and I have an amazing lady in my corner who I keep pushing it. I keep going, it's finished, read it. And she goes, it's not finished. Read it out loud to yourself. You'll see it needs to be finessed. And I'm thinking, okay. So I'm sitting freezing in my kitchen, reading it out loud to myself. I reckon it'll be finished in a couple of months, but maybe not. Maybe she'll go, it's still not finished. So I don't know. And I don't know how long these things take. Once the publisher possibly says yes.
Forever.
Really? You tell me, I know nothing. Seriously.
It's a long process, yeah.
Oh, God. Sorry. So who knows? Who knows? But I'm already planning the second one.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you can, if you self-publish, you can do it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go traditional publishing route, then it's a longer and slower
path. Well, we need to have a chat. I need to pick your brains, please.
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to share my experiences.
Yeah, that would be brilliant. Thank you.
No problem. Tell me about role models for aging in your life. What did you learn about aging from your birth family?
Gosh, that's a really difficult question to answer. So what comes up kind of in my head is a bit of a blank. In the book, I found myself writing about my gran a lot and wondering whether she was even aware of what she was going through. And I very much assumed that she did just grit her teeth and get on with it, you know, in silence, because that's what you did. But kind of in later life, she just keeps popping into my head an awful lot. And I'm really aware, you know, I'll smell something or I'll catch myself in a mannerism that reminds me of my gran. I just say, oh, hello, gran. And there's just a part of me that is kind of linking that in my mind. You know, I did a post about being in London and get myself in a terrible state. And it came into my head that my gran used to say, oh, you know, always ask a policeman. And I saw a policewoman and I asked for directions because I got myself in such a state. And I finally got myself to the right place. And I looked up and there was a ghost sign up on this old brewery and it just said, take courage.
Oh.
And I was, oh my God, started crying again. You know, my gran is there. And it just really makes me wonder whether, you know, she'd be proud of me for making a noise about it. Because, you know, certainly her generation, and I would say my mum's generation as well, just had to get on with it.
Mm.
So it doesn't really answer your question, but it fascinates me anyway. You know, my mum told me everything I ever needed to know about puberty and far more than I cared to know. But not, you know, menopause was never mentioned, which I find really interesting. But certainly my daughter and my son, you know, will be fully clued up, are fully clued up already, even at 10 and 12.
And is your mum around now?
Yes. Yeah.
Have you talked to her about menopause?
Yeah. I think it's a similar situation to a few of my friends who I've spoken about that. Oh, don't put everything down to that, dear. You know, just be careful you don't get caught up in that trap of just blaming everything on menopause. So there's not really a dialogue there, which is interesting because that's not usual. So not exactly brushed under the carpet, but not really talked about.
There's a thing that I don't know and I puzzle over, and that is there's no doubt that there is a lot of stuff that happens in your between 45 and 55, all sorts of things from physical symptoms and emotional stuff, psychological stuff, spiritual stuff, and also losing work, you know, getting made redundant, accidents, falling over, car crashes, debt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all sorts of there's emotional, physical stuff. There's all sorts of like seemingly incidental stuff that happens around that, you know, those 10 years. And not all of it is obviously influenced by hormone shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it, because there's no bloody research into women's, well, not enough research into women's health, particularly older women's health. there's not enough clear research into how hormone changes affect our physiology in general. But there is some sort of seismic shift. it's like the whole snow globe being shaken up.
Yes.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
What is important here? Pay attention to what is important. And this is what I see. So I've worked in this area for quite a long time, but I still puzzle over how useful it is to make everything about menopause or about life. Because ultimately, the answer is the same, is that we have to pay attention to what's important within ourselves.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Which means, which for me is broccoli and having a lie down.
I like it. As long as we don't ignore it.
Yeah.
Because that way madness lies. So, you know, navigate it any which way that works for you, but don't grit your teeth and just think it'll go away if you ignore it, because it really won't.
Do you take HRT?
No, not yet. Let's put it that way, not yet. So kind of when I set out on my quest, you know, I decided to try all things natural, but I'm certainly not a, you must only try all things natural. You know, were I to decide HRT was for me, then I would research it, you know, the same way as I've done with all the stuff I've tried. I would speak to other women, healthcare professionals. So I'd never say never, just, you know, not yet, I guess. But there is a kind of one day every month where I'm like, no, that's it. Actually, yes, I'm gonna do HRT. This is horrific.
Yeah.
But pretty much apart from that one day a month or 2 days, I'm all right. You know, I'm doing all right.
And so out of all this astonishing list of stuff you tried, do you know what works for you? I mean, you talked about the Tabasco for the mouth burning, but...
Yeah, so... mostly it's the stuff rather marvelously that doesn't cost anything, because it does worry me that, as we were saying earlier, you know, they see us coming. The biggest thing for me, and loads of people talk about this, is the cold water therapy. Now, you know, I don't have a cottage by the sea, and I can't go and dunk myself in the water every morning, but I make myself turn the shower to cold at the end, which seems like, you know, one, why on earth would you do that to yourself? And two, really does it work? But since I've moved to this, you know, moved to the country by mistake and have been as miserable as sin and keep forgetting to do it because the house is so cold, I can feel the lack of it. It, without question,
what do you notice?
Is that I want to chew my own head off. And I've had that situation before. Again, ages ago, I did a reel about it. I hadn't had a shower that morning and I just wanted to chew my own arm off. I just was so full of irritable rage. And if I get in there, have a shower and I turn it down, as hideous, as particularly hideous in this house, it makes a huge, huge difference, a huge difference to basically all my symptoms. So definitely cold water therapy. Again, this is what most people are talking about. I would say magnesium. Magnesium positively impacts all of my symptoms, although it took me a while to realize that it's, you don't want the bog standard.
Yeah, what kind? Because there's all kinds of different kinds. So
So it was the magnesium oxide that you get, you know, just from your local pharmacist, and all that really does is keep you regular. And so it's glycinate, magnesium glycinate, and I can't remember the other one. I use a lady called Daisy O'Connor. She has a company called City Survivor, and I use her night, you know, I have them at night. And that's made a huge difference to my sleep, to my restless legs, to my itchy skin, to my brain fog, you know, all of it. What else is bit? Period pants have made an absolutely massive difference. Because, you know, as I was saying, your periods don't just stop. You know, I never know when mine's going to suddenly turn up, if it's going to be in the middle of the night. You can have constant spotting. And, you know, you're using these tampons and pads, you know, that are basically taking away, you know, much needed moisture never mind anything else. So period pants have been an absolute game changer for me. I didn't know they existed. The same with reusable panty liners and things like that. I didn't know they existed. So that's been huge. A meditation, but I just keep forgetting to do it. That actually helps with your digestion as well, you know, with my epic wind. If you sit for 10 minutes and meditate after you've eaten, it's hilarious. It's unbelievable. It's because it's the same with the same with the magnesium, the same with the cold water. It's activating your parasympathetic nervous system, your, you know, your tend and befriend, your rest and digest system. So you literally meditating, you know, helps with the demon blow offs. Mm. So I think those have been the big game changers for me. And having a focus, having a purpose without question, you know, discovering that I can write and that I like writing. And more than that, it makes me feel serene. You know, my head is busy all the time. I can't sit still for 5 minutes. I hate my own company. You know, all this stuff that I'm working through, I'm doing the work on my journey. But to learn that I love writing, it has been, you know, I turn 50 in a couple of weeks' time. You know, I'm quite the late bloomer, but it makes me feel really, really happy.
I'm, you know what? I'm deeply, deeply envious that writing makes you serene.
Really, does it? It is, no, not for you.
Well, occasionally, very occasionally. But I remember my partner at one point. I was chewing the carpet, putting my head on the wall. Like, he said, "I thought this was supposed to be fun." I go, "It is fun, kind of." I mean, when the words come, you know, and I write jokes. When words come and I'm right, and it makes me laugh, and I'm laughing at what I'm writing. That's like, that's like, you know, being queen of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, but the then when you read it back and you've like read the bloody thing for like a million times, and it still makes you laugh, I'm like, come on, I love it. I absolutely love it.
That's good, but that's rare. So what is your writing practice like? I mean, do you get up and do it, or do you just write when you feel like it?
But I barely do anything. I barely do much. The God's honest truth is now, I mean, I've been writing this thing for over a year and 3 months or something. And it's, you know, it's changed. It was a guidebook, this, that, and the other. So I've had periods of absolutely right, I'm going to send it off by this time because it's definitely finished, which, you know, it definitely isn't. But at the moment, like, I would say I probably only do 2 hours a day, if that. So yeah, not, you know, not very dedicated, but I suppose at least it means I enjoy it when I'm doing it, because I'm not just sitting and and because, you know, nobody's holding me to a deadline, because nobody cares.
Not true.
So far, you know, I'm just kind of pottering. I'm pottering along.
Well, let it be fun, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that many people come to at this point in their lives, is that if it's not fun, I'm not playing.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. I think, yes, searching for joy. I did an article on that. That's why I ended up in the trees, zip lining and stuff, which initially was not joyous, but looking to find joy. And I did a post on that, and I had women going, try wakeboarding, you know, try this. I didn't even know what wakeboarding was, you know, try this. Like, I do this. I did, like, properly out there, fantastic, awesome. I went to a hang aerial class. And for women over 55, no, wasn't it?
What is that?
Like circus skills, like trapeze and silks and hoops. And it was an over 55s class. There was one chap, it wasn't actually just for women, but there were ladies there who looked like my gran, like doing stuff that I couldn't even lift myself up. They were hanging upside down and climbing up. It was amazing. I was on the edge of tears the whole time because they were so cool. And when I finally hauled myself up and stood on the trapeze, I actually burst into snotty tears because I felt like a kid again. Mm. And it's almost like that's sort of denied us, or we deny ourselves, I don't know, but it just felt amazing. So I just did snotty tears everywhere, which everybody seemed to find perfectly normal. So that was good.
And who do you want to be when you grow up?
That is the epic question. And that's the thing. That's what I was talking about.
No, already, what do you want to be when you're... Because you don't have to be human. You know, I can be a big frog.
But that's like all the buzzwords that do my head in are actually all true. You know, they're stepping into your power and doing the work and, you know, and being on your journey and all of that. And my whole life, I've thought, I must be more this. I should be less this. Why am I so weak? Why am I, you know, not confident enough? You know, I need to become the woman I was supposed to be. And then this kind of quiet revelation that actually, maybe I'll just accept the person that I am and accept the woman that I am. And I'm, okay, I'm a bit this and a bit to that and a bit, ooh, and I like that. And that sits just right with me. And that has been, as simple as it sounds, an absolute revelation. So that's who I am as I'm growing up. I still clearly haven't grown up, but I feel I am growing up and liking the person that I am, which I think is huge. Now I just need to live another 50 years to enjoy that. So I'm going for 100 uh-huh. as a kind of someone who likes themselves.
Better eat that broccoli then.
I keep doing my cold water showers. I might give myself a heart attack.
Don't do that. But I wonder if sometimes, I mean, and you say it's as simple as that, and it is both really simple and really complicated. It's simple when you're in there. It's really complicated when you're not. And I wonder if this kind of alternative narrative about owning our power, about being the woman, you know, all that stuff. I mean, as soon as I say it, I start to get pissed off. You know, this is my work, by the way. But it even irritates me. And something about the kind of fix it attitude, like you're not okay. Becoming the woman that you long to be,
yes,
implies of necessity that you're not okay as you are.
Yeah.
Becoming powerful or empowered says you're not empowered now. You know, it takes you out of the moment and into some projected future where you're better and the grass is greener. And that pisses me off.
Yeah. And I think there's an awful lot of pressure on us to do the work and, you know, be more this and less this, that and the other. But I think you just slightly reframe it. You just slightly turn it. And it's actually about liking yourself. So there are plenty of things. I've had a good, you know, long look at myself, and there are plenty of things that I've realized that I do that aren't so great. I think lockdown really afforded me the chance to look at how I interact with women, for example, you know, and part of the reason that, you know, I'm not that comfortable in the company of women is that I'm a bit of a dickhead in the company of women, and I tend to be quite negative. And, you know, I've caught myself gossiping, and, you know, I've had to really look at how I interact. It isn't just a case of going, everybody's like this and they don't tell the truth. But I've also had to look at, you know, again, another, these buzzwords, limiting beliefs, that I genuinely thought that I was weak and that, you know, I got poorly too often and I gave in to myself and I rested too much and all of those things. So I think, the idea that you sort of go into some kind of cocoon in middle age and come out as this, you know, walloping great big butterfly, isn't the case. You do need to do the work, but it isn't about I should be more like so and so, and I, you know, it's about, no, this is me, and I'm a bit different, and I am a bit, you know, this, that and the other, and that's fine. Does that make any sense at all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I used to, I only joined Instagram in January, having never been on any kind of social media, and I kept reading all of this. Menopause is the most amazing time in your life. You will emerge, you will learn about yourself. It is, furious, like furious. Like, what are you talking about? This is hideous. And that was just January. And I get it now. My estrogen is ebbing. I'm starting to give less of a shit as to what everyone thinks of me. And I can't say that I'm becoming less of a caregiver with, you know, tween children. But I am starting to think more about who am I and what do I want and how do I want to spend the next half of my life. And I think that's what it's about. I mean, I'm rambling now, but I think that's what it's about. And it's great. It's great. You know, perimenopause really thwacked me in the balls. I hid in the house. I hid in the house and I sought to become invisible. And I felt dreadful. And, you know, bit by bit, I'm like shaving the side of my head, going grey, referring to myself as the Silver Sister, which makes me laugh every time, and stepping into my power in my period pants in the back alley. and talk myself into an advertising campaign for the company that whose pants I was standing in. I didn't enjoy doing the shoot. I was terrified, but I did it, you know, and I can feel all of that happening. I am rambling there.
But to close our conversation, can you give me your top tip for a happy inside life?
I think that would be my point, that anyone listening to me in the depths of it probably felt the same as I did, probably felt, you know, a well-known phrase linked to sex and travel. No, it's not. I'm not going to come out bolder and braver than I went in. I'm not. But I tell you what, you are. You are going to come out bolder and braver, because if I can, genuinely, anyone can. And the feeling when you accept and like who you are is unbelievable, is fantastic. So I think it would just be that, you know, tell me to fuck off, because you just can't believe it now. But it is quite the revelation. And I do get loads of women post-menopause sending me messages going, oh, I love it, it's brilliant. You know, it's wonderful, it's liberating. And it's just holding on to that. You know, we're not ill. We're just passing through. I call my perimenopause Hell Gorge. I'm just passing through Hell Gorge and I'm coming out the other side, as we all will.
I'm curious to know what has helped you with your menopause symptoms. We're all so different. You know, what works for one of us doesn't work for somebody else, and sometimes our needs change and it doesn't work for a while and then it does. So if Elizabeth's experiences have struck a chord with you, come over to Kate_Codrington on Instagram and share your triumphs, share what's working. You know, the more that we talk about what we're dealing with and what we work with, the less fear there is. If you have enjoyed this episode, if it's been useful for you, then please share it. And don't forget to look out for the sister podcast, so Inside Job's more professional little sister, and that's called Inside Therapist. Now, it'll be on this strand, so if you subscribe to Inside Job, it'll land in your phone when the next episode is coming up. It's a community project, it's really exciting, and it's for, you know, well-being professionals. I hate that term. There has to be a better term. What can we use that's better, that encompasses therapists and body workers and yoga people and coaches and facilitators and all them people? I don't know. You tell me. I need a better word than that. Anyway, that's who it's for. And if you'd like to contribute to that, then please get in touch and I'll send you the guidelines. It would just be wonderful to have your voice on there too. Thanks for hanging out with us. Bye.